This is second in a pair of sermons. Kids. Are you a kid?
Yeah.
That means I'm talking to you and you. Oh, are you hiding there, Logan?
Yeah.
I'm talking to you too, and you, Lily. I want you to pay special attention, as they say in the military, eyes front. Oh, that's going to be hard for you, Lily, right? A little harder for you. Do you remember the name of last week's talk, anybody? What was it, Augie? Augie's sermon on Jesus dying on the cross. I think it was a little shorter. It was Augie's sermon on the cross, but you got the right idea. And we learned in that sermon why Jesus had to die. You didn't forget all about that, have you yet? Everybody still remember why? Okay. Do you also remember the rules for preaching to children? Number one was, Augie?
Actually, I want to do rule number three.
You want to do, okay, you can say rule number three. Anybody remember rule number one?
Keep it simple?
Yeah, use simple words.
Yeah.
Number two was?
Keep it short.
Very good, Jeffrey. Exactly. Number three was seeing number one and number two. Did we succeed with those last week? At least mostly? A little bit? Okay. I'm not sure I would say it was short, but Augie's sermon on the cross had to have a lot of preamble, I guess you would say. And this time we don't have to. So shall we stay with those ground rules there, Logan? Those good ground rules? Number one, two, three? Shall we stick with those for this week?
Yes.
Yeah, so I said, Dad said yes, exactly. Okay, in today's sermon, we'll talk about amillennialism, premillennialism, postmillennialism, futurism, preterism, historicism, and eschatology. Does that sound good? Not following rule number one. Now, those weren't simple words, just like Augie pointed out, were they? And they sounded kind of funny, too, didn't they? But definitely not simple. And again, Augie, what did you say rule number one was?
To use simple words.
Exactly.
I was actually pointing at number
two. So the reason I mention them is because they help show that when you're talking about what people believe will happen at the end of time, which, by the way, is what eschatology is. It's a theology of what happens at the end time. Words like amillennialism, premillennialism, postmillennialism, futurism, preterism, and historicism show how we adults cannot really agree on what's going to happen at the end. The first three, amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial, those are disagreements about one subject, and then the last three are disagreements about another subject. And you know what? As you get older, kids, Logan, when you get older, you might find it actually fun to study about them. But good brothers and sisters throughout thousands of years have wrestled about them. And you know, if we're honest with each other, we'll probably have to admit we don't know exactly what's going to happen at the end of times. We don't know for sure. Maybe God will reveal it, and the Bible seems to indicate He will. Maybe God will reveal it, but right now we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But boy, we adults, Damien, can argue about it a whole bunch. But instead of us arguing about it, I'm going to share three things that we know is going to happen for sure. Three things that we know is going to happen for sure. Does it mean that adults never disagree about these? But as a whole, Christians believe the same thing, and the Bible is very clear about them. Can you guess what the first one of the three things that we know when it comes to Augie's sermon on the second coming? What's the first thing that we know for sure about? Wait, come to think of it. Wait, Augie.
Jesus will come back.
Exactly. I was going to say, does everybody know what the second coming means? We talked about making sure we understand terms. And second coming means that Jesus will come back. And that's the first thing we know for sure. Now, should you believe me, Damien, just because I told you that Jesus is going to come back? Should you believe it just because I said it? No. Very good. He asked it with a question mark. He didn't know. He doesn't want to say, hey, look, Alan, I question you. No, you should not. What should we do, Damien? What should we do? What's this thing in my hand? We should look in the Bible, right. And as a matter of fact, if you want, Damien, since you were so good, do you want to come up and read something the Bible says? Everybody else turn to John 14 and look at verses 1 through 3. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Come on this side, though. Right here. John 14, verses 1 through 3. And I think we've already had this one in a sermon before for another reason. I don't know about you, but there's certain verses that do pop up a lot for me because they say so much, and this is one of them. So John 14, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Do you want to hear it, read it off this, or do you want to read it off the paper? What's easier for you? Right here? Okay, remember, get close to the microphone. 1 through 3. So right, you're going to read from here to there. Go ahead.
Okay. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also... also of me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.
That was awesome. Very well done. Very well done. Kids, is Jesus going to come back?
Yes.
What do you think, Logan? Jesus coming back?
Yes.
Lily? Jesus coming back? She shook her head yes. How do you know? How do you know he's going to come back?
It's
Damien?
In the Bible.
It's in the Bible, right? We just read it. Because you can trust Jesus. And he said, quote, he will come again to take you with him. Take you to him. Now, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I think so. Now, if you think that's awesome, I'm not going to make a kid read this one. Wait till you read the next part of the Bible that proves Jesus will return. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And again, this is a set of verses that I've brought up before too, because they say so much. And considering, is this our sixth week? How many weeks have we been here? Is this five or six? Yeah, there you go. So it just goes to show you, I've only preached six times here, and this has come up twice, as has the previous one. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. You there?
Yes.
But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. Kids, listen to that. He's specifically saying, Logan, I don't want you not to know this. I want you to know this. So he starts off, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, means those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Basically, he's going to resurrect everybody who has died in Christ. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord. So this is from God. He's repeating, this is from God. That we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep, meaning we won't go before them. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Listen to this. This is awesome, guys. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Wow. Agree, kids? Wow. The voice of an archangel. I imagine Michelle, being sensitive to loud noises, is going to have to go like this. All right, God's behind it. He'll have some special muting for people with sensitive ears. The sound of a trumpet of God. What's that going to sound like? Damien?
It's going to sound like
angels? Well, angels are coming. An angel will probably play it. Christians who have died coming back to life. Could you imagine being visiting the cemetery? And I don't want to say popping out of graves, because that's our kind of movie horror film stuff. But suddenly, boom, people who have died that you love, who believe in Christ, are there. And then, top it off, all of us meeting Jesus in the air. Every last one of us meeting Jesus in the air. Who wants to see that? Who wants to see that? Oh, come on, I can't be the only one. I see other people being hesitant. We got some people who probably didn't raise their hand in class either. Lily says she wants to do it too. Well, the good news is that even if he returns after we die, as long as we are one of his true followers, because those who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. If we are dead then, guess what? He's going to bring us back to life to meet him in the clouds. Awesome. Right, Logan?
Yeah,
there we go. Okay, so we got number one. What was number one again?
Oh,
Damien?
Words.
What? You simple words, right. Not number one of the rules, number one thing that we know about the end times. What do we know for sure is going to happen in the end times? Logan? Mom can help. Yeah, Jesus is going to come back, right? Augie, you agree with that? Number one? Number, okay. Now, what we just read, the verses we just read, actually brings up the second thing we know for sure about Jesus' return. Let me ask you this. Ready? Augie, since you got your hand up. Is Jesus' return... Wait. This is a question for you. Is Jesus' return going to be hidden? Only a select few will see it?
No, almost everyone will see it. Only the people who aren't Christians.
Well, actually, this is interesting. We'll say, no, actually you were right. It sounds like quite the entrance, doesn't it? He didn't just like... He doesn't walk up to the store, knock, stroll in, say, hey, Amanda, time to go. Right? He doesn't do that. Pretty amazing. But another good rule of thumb, kids, is don't let anybody try to convince you of to believe something with one scripture. Best of all, you could read this cover to cover over and over and over again, and then you'd know for sure. But definitely don't go with just one scripture. So let's look at Revelation 1:7 and see what it says about Jesus' return. Revelation 1:7. And I appear to be tripping over my tongue today. You like that expression, Augie?
Yeah.
Pretty long tongue to trip over it. Revelation 1, verse 7. Kids, I want you to listen closely, because you already heard one. It didn't technically say everybody was going to see him. It just seemed pretty clear that you come in the clouds, a bunch of people start raising out of the graves and stuff, that people would probably notice. So we're going to see if the Bible tells us something a little more specific. Revelation 1:7. This is what it says. Augie, you want to come up quick? I should have done this before. Come up quick. Revelation 1:7. That wouldn't be quick. Quick. Don't run over anybody. Okay, ready? Revelation 1, verse 7. Ready? Right there.
Behold, he is coming with the clouds. I'm tripping on my running tongue today also.
Go ahead. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and?
And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail. On account of him, even so, amen.
There we go. Okay. Who will see Jesus when he returns in the clouds? Damien?
Christians?
Actually, if you look where we just read, it said every eye, Christians and non-Christians. As a matter of fact, it's kind of scary because this makes it clear. It says even those who pierced him. So no matter how bad or how good you are, when Jesus returns, you will see him. So if, kids, you listen in, because this is really important. There are a lot of liars in this world. If anyone tells you that Jesus has already come back, don't believe them. You'll get to see it with your own eyes. Even if you're not wearing your glasses when it happens there, Logan. You'll be able to see it with your own eyes. And you know what? Let me just read, save some time. I'm going to read to you what Jesus himself said about not believing those liars. And he said to his disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it." So people are going to long to have Jesus return, and he hasn't returned. And they will say, "Look there! Look here!" Okay, these are Jesus' words, talking right to you guys. Ready? Oh, got a little feedback going there. "Do not go out or follow them. For as," listen to this, guys, ready? "For as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. Do not follow them. Wait for the real Jesus to come back. You will know it when he does, Lily. You will know it when Jesus really comes back. If somebody has to convince you it's Jesus, it isn't Jesus." Okay, so far, what do we know? Number one, we know Jesus will
come back.
You guys got it. Number two, we know Jesus will come back
and raise us from the dead.
That is true. He will. He will come back visibly. You will be able to see him. He will not come back in secret. He will not come. He is here in our hearts, but that's not what it's talking about with his return. Jesus has returned in your hearts. That's not what it's saying. He's going to come back, and he's going to come back visibly. Okay, we got 2 out of 3. Are we moving quickly enough? Yeah? Okay. So let's figure out the third thing that we know about the end of times. And to do that, actually, I should have had you keep your fingers in Thessalonians. We just have to read a bit more in Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. And remember, kids, what's neat about this is where we were just reading 1 Thessalonians, this is just continuing it. So, Logan, do you want to try to do a repeat after me on this one? Come on up. Come on up while people are looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. If you can squeeze through the chairs. Got it? Okay. Would you like to read it off the Bible here, or would it be easier to read it off the paper? The Bible? Okay. Ready? Let me get down here a little easier here. No, you don't have to kneel. Then I'll have to, like, lay on the floor if you kneel. Okay, ready? Now, concerning the times and the seasons.
Concerning the times and the seasons.
Brothers.
You have no need to have.
Anything written to you.
Anything written to you.
For you yourselves are fully aware. That the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night.
That the day in the Lord will come a thief in the night.
When people are saying. Or actually, you're right. Wow, no wonder you read it correctly. I didn't. While people are saying. There is peace and security.
Peace and security.
Then sudden destruction.
Sudden destruction.
Will come upon them. As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman.
I can't say that.
Is it just a word you're not allowed to say? Is that what you're saying? Or was I saying it too fast? And they will not escape.
They will not escape.
You did awesome, dude. Awesome. Okay, very good. Kids, do you know, Lily, do you know what it means to come like a thief in the night? She shakes her head no. Let me ask you this, Lily, okay?
That's good.
They'll surprise us.
Exactly. Lily, do you think a thief would let you know they were going to rob your house?
No.
Why not? Of course not, right? Because if they told you, if right now somebody said, "Hey, Alan, by the way, while you're preaching at church, we're going to rob your house," we'd have the friendly Adams County sheriffs waiting inside, right? So to come like a thief in the night just means you come unexpectedly. You're not watching for it. You think everything's going to be normal, and suddenly it changes. So the third thing we know for sure about the second coming is that Jesus will return when people don't expect it. And I think this is very important, that Jesus will return, Logan, when people don't expect it. Or, as they say, unexpectedly. Now, Thessalonians, that we just read, was written by Paul. What does his fellow apostle Peter say about Jesus' second coming? For that, we can look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. So, Paul was a later apostle called by God after Jesus died. Peter is one of the original apostles, and he was one of the kind of core. If you look at the leadership, you might say, I'd be careful. I wouldn't necessarily say he was number one, but if he wasn't God's primary apostle for a period of time, he was very, very important and in the core. 2 Peter 3:10. And I got to change from 1 Peter here. Kids, you listening? You ready for this? See if you hear some words that sound like the words we just read. But the day of the Lord will come like a
thief.
You got it. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. How will the day of the Lord come? Logan? Like a
thief,
right. Do you agree, Lily? It's going to come like a thief? Okay. Like a thief. But before we wrap things up, just like we did with Jesus will return visibly, let's see what Jesus himself says. You guys ready? So what I want you to do is turn to Matthew 24. Damien, you want to come up and do this one again? Matthew 24. We're going to look at verses 42 through 44. Jesus' own words again. Matthew 24. Come on up, Damien. So, Matthew 24, and we're looking at 42 through 44. So that would be... There, right? Right here, right there to there, right there. Let me bring it down a little bit here. Let me do the kneeling here, not pull my cable off. Right there to right there. You got it? Matthew, go ahead and say this first. Say Matthew 24, 42 through 44.
Matthew 24 to...
42 through 44.
42 to 44.
Okay, ready? Go ahead and read.
Okay. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Be fear, for you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Awesome. You did great again. Thank you. When will Jesus return based on those, right at the end, based on those verses, when will Jesus return? Augie?
Right at the end of the world.
That is true. But what do those verses teach us? It says, the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Thanks, Nev. At an hour you do not expect, which means unexpectedly. Jesus will return when people don't expect it. Should you, Logan, Damien, Libby, Lily, I have to remember to look down at you because you keep slumping so I can't see you. And Augie, let me ask you this, guys, ready? Should you make sure you are ready for Jesus' return at any time? Augie?
No.
Should you be ready for Jesus' return?
No.
No? You should be unprepared?
Oh, yes!
Yes, there you go, exactly. It's like, have you ever heard the story that kids in Sunday school, every time they're asked a question, they just say God because they figure it's always the answer? And in some ways it is. Yes. If we read more about what Jesus was saying, it would be clearer. But that was the big point of what he was making there, that we should be ready. Jesus will return when people don't expect it. So you know what? Expect it. Be ready. It could happen right now. And there you go, kids. Guess what? You now know three things that we all know for sure about the end times, about the second coming, Augie's sermon on the second coming, about the second coming of Jesus. Number one, Jesus, hey, you guys can repeat this after me, ready? Number one, Jesus will return. Go ahead.
Jesus will return.
Exactly. Number two, Jesus will return visibly.
Jesus will return visibly.
Exactly. And number three, Jesus will return when people don't expect it. Good. Close enough, Augie. I didn't hear your voice there, Lily. That's because you didn't say it, did you? Now, how do we know these three things?
The Bible says so.
Because the Bible says so. Exactly. Damien, you're the man today. And you know what? If you think about it, didn't Jesus himself say all three things? Didn't we quote him each one? Those three things are good news because when he returns, if you truly believe in him, if you have faith in him, he comes back to bring you where?
To heaven.
To heaven, right. And you know what? He will fix everything. No more pain. Think of what Noah's going through. No more death. Think of what may happen to Noah too soon. And no more tears. No more crying parents or sisters or brothers or friends. And you know why? That is why the Apostle John, another apostle, wrote these words. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. And then Paul says, so that was Jesus saying those words. And then John says, come Lord Jesus, exclamation point. As a matter of fact, he said amen. What he said was, amen, come Lord Jesus, exclamation point. So can you guys repeat this after me? Ready? You guys ready?
Yes.
Lily, you ready too? Okay, repeat after me. Amen, come Lord Jesus.
Come Lord Jesus, exclamation point.
Exclamation point. Amen.